All right. Somebody else got a special for us? Anybody? Well, you know, if that's it, I'm preaching. Amen. All right, then. I guess that's it. Okay, would you turn to a very familiar scripture? In 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, in verse 14. This is a precious verse to me. And God speaking to His people, the temple has just been completed. The Shekinah glory of God has come down and has come into the building. What a glorious time, what a glorious sight that must have been. The Bible says the smoke filled the temple so much that the priests and all, they had to come out of the building. They couldn't even stay in. I mean, what a show of God coming down, entering into the temple, and blessing the people of Israel. But then we find here where God says in verse 14, and I want to preach on this verse this morning if I may. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Oh, what a need that we have today here in America. Amen. A country that has been founded and built on the precious Word of God. I tell you, and how true this verse is, just as much today as it was thousands of years ago. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come as humble as we know how before Thee. And dear Father, we thank You, Lord, for this privilege that we have today. We thank You, Lord, for the blessings that we received in the Sunday school hour. We thank You, Lord, for each song that's been sang here through the hymns and to the choir and Lord, this special that we had today from the children, and Lord, how they bless our heart. Lord, we thank You, Lord, that we have this place to worship You and to uplift and glorify Your name. And Lord, we're so glad, Lord Jesus, that You said that if You would be lifted up, You would draw all men unto You. And Lord, that's our heart's desire, is to lift You up. And Lord, that people might see You, not that we'll be seen, not that any person be seen, but Lord, that You would be seen. And Lord, that You'd be magnified in everything that's said and done. Lord, that You'd be glorified in everything that's said and done. Lord, that You'd be honored in everything that's said and done. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that You just have Your will and Your way. And Lord, all that You do, be faithful to give You the praise, the honor, and the glory. For it's in Jesus' precious name we do pray. Amen and amen. We find here in the scripture here in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, He said, if my people. He puts that if. If you want the blessings of God, then God puts that if there. He said, if you want the blessings of God, then if you will do this, He said, I'll bless you. If you will come to this place in your life, He said, I will do you good. He said, I will bless you. And He said, I will honor you. He said, if my people, which are called by my name. He's talking about saved people. He's talking about those of us that are born again, the children of God. And He's talking about the saved. He's not talking about the lost. He's talking about the saved. You remember that Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth. We are the salt. We're the preserver. He said, because of you, the wrath of God is kept off of the nation. And that's just the same as it is here in 2020. It's the salt of the earth. It's you and I that are saved. The salt that's keeping the hand of God off of this nation and bringing about the wrath of God. One day God is going to bring His wrath down upon this nation. One of these days, and not only this nation, but the whole world. It's coming one day. But listen, until we're taken out of the way. Hey, listen, I had someone to say some time ago. They said, the reason we got all these problems in the world today is because of Christians. Yeah, that's the way the world looks at it. That's what the world thinks about it. But listen, we're keeping the wrath of God off the nation. As He said, we're the salt of the earth. We're keeping the wrath of God off. We're the preservative, in other words. And He's keeping the wrath of God. We are keeping the wrath of God. But one day, Jesus is going to be told by the Father. And He said, go get your bride. He's going to come and take the bride out. When the bride is called out, then the wrath of God is going to come down. Oh yeah, Brother John was telling me about somebody made the statement, said, the Bible don't speak about 3 years of tribulation and 3.5 years of great tribulation. But listen, you need to study your Bible. It does. It plainly tells us there's going to be 3.5 good years. It's going to look like everything is blissful. Everything is wonderful. Hey, listen, when the church is first taken out, it looked like, well, boy, it's great around here now. There's plenty of everything. Everything is going good. All the problems are going to be solved. It's going to look like the Antichrist is solving all the problems of the world. There's going to be a peace, but a false peace. For a short time, for 3.5 years, there's going to be a false peace that's going to be taking place. But listen, at the midst, as the Bible tells us, in the midst of the tribulation, after 3.5 years, we're going to find then what's going to take place. The wrath of God is going to bring His wrath upon this world. And there's never been a time like it, never before, neither after shall there ever be a time like there's going to be in that last 3.5 years while God brings His wrath upon this earth. God said, I'm going to get even with this earth. Oh, they make fun today. Oh, how they make fun of God, how they make fun of God's Word, how they make fun of preachers. And I know there's a lot of mixed up preachers. There's a lot of bad preachers. I know that. But listen, I had someone to tell me, and they were throwing up some bad preachers that had gone wrong and all. And I told them, this is a statement I made. I said, you show me one that's gone bad, and I'll give you 10 that haven't. I said, what about the 10 that haven't? I said, a lot of people just want to think about the ones that's gone bad. But let me tell you, there's still some great preachers out there standing true to God, standing separated to God, preaching the Word of God. Not only are they preaching it, but they're walking it, amen. Separated lives unto the Lord. Hey, listen, I want you to know all preachers are not bad, amen. I had my brother while he's laying on his deathbed, and my brother said to me, I told him, I said, Ronnie, don't you want to be saved? He said, yes, but he said, I don't want to be like some of these people. I said, what do you mean? He said, I know some people call themselves Christians, and he said, they live such an ungodly life, I live a better life than they do. And he said, and I'm not even saved. I said, well, Ronnie, I said, I want to tell you something. I said, God doesn't want you looking at these people. He wants you to look at Jesus. Have you ever found fault in Jesus? He's the one that died on the cross. I didn't die on a cross, neither any other preacher died on a cross, but Jesus died on the cross, and He told us to keep our eyes upon Him. Look to Jesus. Don't look to anybody else. Hey, listen, go by what Jesus said. Jesus is the Savior. He's the one that went to the cross of Calvary. He's the one that shed His blood for the remission of sin. He's the one that we need to keep our eyes on. And I told my brother, I said, you've known me all these years. I said, you've known all these years that I've been saved. And I said, I've been trying to talk to you about accepting Christ as your Savior. I said, you see my life. I said, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not perfect. I don't claim to be perfect. But I said, I try to live for God. I try to serve God. And I try to put Him first in my life. I try to walk with Him. I said, you know that. And he shook his head, yes, I know that. I said, Ronnie, I said, I don't want you to live an ungodly life. I said, I want you to give your heart to Christ. And I want you to live for Him and serve Him. I said, don't look at these other people. And I knew what he's talking about. I knew some of the people he was talking about. He had worked for some of the people that he was talking about. They claimed to be a Christian. They'd stand in front of church and sing and all like that. And then when they wasn't in church, then they lived an ungodly life. And he'd seen their ungodly life. He'd seen their filthy mouth and their curse words and all these things that they had used. He'd seen that. And they were family. He knew them as family, but he knew them living a false life. Hey, let me tell you, there's some people out here in this world that's going to look at you and I, and they're going to judge God by the way you and I live. And my friend, we better live close to Christ. Some people, wouldn't it be horrible to know that we're standing there before Christ and someone would come up and said, well, I'd have gotten saved if it hadn't been for him. I'd have gotten saved if it hadn't been for Larry McElhinney. If he had just lived right, if he had just done right, if he had just said the right things and done the right things, but yet behind the scenes he lived an ungodly life. I don't want that said about me. I want to live for Jesus. Amen. I want to do all we can to lead people to Christ. Now I know I failed myself. Now I know I failed God. And I had to ask God to forgive me for my failures and all. I come short just like everybody else does. But I want you to know, I try to live for Christ. And I want to live for Christ. And I want to uphold the bloodstained banner and wave it high and say, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus. Notice what he says. He said, if my people, which are called by my name as Christians, shall humble themselves. Now this is another problem. This is another problem. You know what? Some Christians will never get on the altar. Well, I don't have to get on the altar and pray. I don't have to get on the altar and pray. No, you don't. You don't have to get on the altar and pray. But he said, if my people will humble themselves and pray. Huh? To humble yourself is one thing. Hey, listen, I'm not ashamed to pray in public or pray anywhere or get on my knees or whatever. Listen, I'm glad that people know that I'm a Christian. I've walked into restaurants and had people come up to me and say, you're a Christian, aren't you? I've had people come up and say, you're a preacher, aren't you? And I said, well, why would you say that? They said, you look like one. I said, well, I'm glad I look like one. Amen. Now I know what a preacher looks like. Amen. Amen. But listen, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Then will I do that. I tell you something, folks, America needs to be healed. It is sick. America is sick. Some of the things, I mean, it's bad enough when abortion in 73, I think it was, got passed and all like that. All these millions of babies that's been destroyed. That's terrible. You know what? People say, well, you know, there's just too many people. There's getting to be too many people, and we're going to have to cut down the population because we just can't keep on growing like we're growing and all these babies and all this stuff. You know what they're doing now? Now they're complaining and said there's not enough people paying in for Social Security. There's not enough people coming up in the ranks. And now we've got this old society coming up and they're moving off the scene and they're on Medicare and all this stuff and costing the country so much and this, that, and another. Well, you know what? We had these other people coming in. Hey, listen, God never told anybody to kill those little innocent babies. He said he'd judge this nation for killing innocent babies. And that's what's going on today. It's God's judgment for killing those innocent babies. Hey, listen, God has got His Word for us to go by. And some people might say, well, that's the old. You know, that Bible, that's for old. You know, that's for years ago and hundreds of years ago. That's not today. Oh, yes, it is for today. It is for today. Hey, God's never changed. Hey, 10,000 years, hey, listen, God doesn't change. God still calls for the same thing. He calls for us to stand true to Him. He calls for us to let Him do the leading and guiding and directing. He calls us to be humble before Him and to humble ourselves before Him and to turn our desire over Him. It's like that old preacher said. He said, give God the reins in your life. Let Him do the guiding and directing. Let Him, leave it up to Him and let Him, He's got a better way. What was it? One of the commercials and all, might have been Ford or something or another. Ford's got a better idea. Let me tell you, God's got a better idea than Ford has. Amen. Amen. He got a better plan than anybody has. Because His is an eternal plan. Amen. An everlasting plan. Praise God. I'm glad I have everlasting life through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't have to worry about whether I'm going to heaven or not. Praise God. I took Him at His word. He said, whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved. Praise God. I took Him at that. Amen. And for 50 years He saved me. And praise God, one of these days He's going to take me home, amen. One of these days He's going to give me a new body. One of these days I won't have to worry about my blindness or my eyes. Praise God, I'm going to have two perfect eyes. I've got one that's blind. I went to the doctor Friday, you know, they give me shots in my eye ever so often. And I went in there. Matter of fact, Preacher Fry called me just as I was sitting in the chair and he's getting ready to give me a shot. And Preacher Fry called me on the phone and I didn't answer it. I didn't know who it was. Later I found out it was Preacher Fry calling me while I was sitting there in a chair. But I didn't want to answer that phone while he's giving me a shot in my eye, amen. When you get ready to stick that needle in the eye, you want to be perfectly still, amen. You don't want to move around, amen. As I was saying there to doctors and all, I told Carol, that's the lady that always puts the stuff in my eye to dilate my eye and all that stuff and take pictures of it, of my retina and all like that. And she was doing all that stuff and everything. And, you know, and I told her, I said, listen, people want to examine my right eye. She said, well, I know at the first, she said, I kept forgetting, said, I'd ask you, said, well, look through this, through your right eye. I said, I can't see it. I can't even see the door through the right eye. Amen. I can't see anything because I'm totally blind. She said, I finally got it now. She said, I don't even ask you anymore, you know, about your right eye because you're totally blind in your right eye. But listen, I remember when I could see back in 07 when I went blind, when I started having all the problems, 07 and then 08, went through all the operations and stuff like that and wound up blind then at the last operation and all like that. But praise God, one of these days I'm going to have two good eyes. You know what? My hair is not going to fall out anymore. I've noticed something recently. You know what that is? Every time I go in and I comb my hair and all this stuff and then I look down the sink and I see all this hair laying down there. This morning I looked in the mirror, and you know what I seen? I seen some baldness up here. It just keeps getting less and less. I said, well, I'm getting old. One of these days I'll have a full head of hair. One of these days I won't need hearing aids. And I fully intended. I said, now today I'm gonna put my hearing aids on. My wife, she says, you haven't got your hearing aids. You can't hear nothing, you know. But one of these days, I'll have perfect hearing. I'll have perfect eyes. Amen. I'll have a perfect body. And it'll last forever and ever and ever. Never wear out. Praise God. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? But you know, God wants us. Let me just give you just a few things and I'll let you go. First of all, God expects His people to follow Him. You know, we find that God, that's all He asks, just follow Him. He knows that we're not perfect. He knows that we don't do everything just perfectly right. But try to follow the Lord. Try to follow him and follow his word. Try to do what he wants you to do. Try that. We find in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 19. We find that he says here in verse 19, he said, and Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Amen. He arose. What happened? Well, there was a ruler that came and he says, my daughter, she's dying. If you come, Jesus said, she'll be all right. Will you come and heal my daughter? And Jesus just got up and he just started walking after the ruler there. And then the disciples, they just followed Jesus. You know, sometimes we don't know where Jesus is going in our life. We don't know what is happening. You know, we don't know what is going to be this evening. We don't know what's going to be tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. But praise God, you can't go wrong with following Jesus. You'll never get in trouble following Jesus. Let me tell you, the devil doesn't like it when you follow Jesus. Just follow the Lord. Just let God take you from day to day through your life. Just follow him and love him and praise him and pray to him. And let me tell you, everything will be all right. Now, the devil ain't going to like it, no. But greater is he that's within us than he that's within the world.
Amen.
Amen. Just follow Jesus. You know, not many people want to follow Jesus anymore. Not many preachers want to follow Jesus. I tell you, it really makes me sick because a lot of preachers are doing damage to this country and the people in this country because they go to church and they sit down under a preacher and he tells them everything's all right. He doesn't tell people that they need to be born again, that they need to come to Christ, that they need to be changed. He just tells them, just live the best you can. How do you know that, preacher? Because I used to be in one of them. I used to be a member of one of those churches. All they ever done was, that preacher, he would preach, you know, just be good. Well, preacher, what do I need to do to be sure I'm going to hell? Just be good. Hey, listen, how are you going to be good when the Bible says there's none good, no, not one? How can you be good? How can we be sin? We can't be sinless. We have to be forgiven of our sin. You know? But we got preachers that's filling the pulpit, and they fill the pulpit because the congregation says, well, we don't like for anybody to tell us that we're wrong. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right, Brother John?
Amen.
Yep. They don't want to hear that they're wrong about anything. But let me tell you, God, Jesus Christ said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to go to heaven, you've got to go through Jesus. If you want to know what God wants, look to Jesus. He's the truth. There is no life without Jesus. There is no way to heaven without Jesus. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. There is no life without Jesus. He paid our sin debt so that we would not have to. We must go and do it His way. As you've heard me say before, and this guy heard me talking to these ladies about the Lord, and he said to me after they left, he said, are you one of them born-again Christians? I said, guilty as charged. He said, well, I don't think much of born-again Christians. I said, well, you don't think much of Jesus then, do you? Well, why would you say that? I said, Jesus said, you must be born again. And I just took my Bible and sat down there with him, showed him. And do you realize he didn't like it? I showed him the truth, but he didn't like it. And I talked to him for a good while and asked him, I said, can I come by later and talk to you? Yeah, sure. And I went by his apartment and told him where he lived and went to his apartment, knocked on the door, and he would not let me in. I figured, well, he's talked to somebody. And I guess he'd rather listen to them than listen to the truth. I'd just show him what the Bible said. Hey, there's not many people want to follow the Lord. They want to do it. I want to have it my way. Burger King religion. I want it my way. I don't want God to tell me different from what I from what I believe. I don't want anybody to tell me different from what I want. I want it my way. Well, I tell you, we better do it God's way. Hey, and there's another thing. God expects his people to be separated. He plainly tells it. I like Titus chapter 2. I like that scripture. I use it quite often. But here in verse number 11, he said, for the grace of God, and I praise God for the grace of God, amen. For the grace of God bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope, that's when Jesus comes, and his glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of what? Good works. Zealous of good works. I mean, Paul writes to Titus, he said, zealous of good works. Not bad works, but good works. What's good works? Reading your Bible. What's good works? Going to church. Hey, do you know what? Some people's got the idea, but I just need to go to church whenever I feel like it. Is that what the Bible says? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the matter of some is, and so much more as that day approaches. Mm-hmm. What day is he talking about? He's talking about when Jesus comes back. He said the closer it gets to Jesus coming back for his church, the more we ought to be in the house of God. But you know what? It seems like the closer we get, the more people get away from the house of God. Well, sometimes I'm just so tired, I just can't make it. Hey, listen, folks. There's many a time I've come in this pulpit and preached, and I'm so tired I couldn't hardly hold my head up. I've come and preached from this pulpit, and I was so sick and running a fever. And I've stood and preached from this pulpit. Why? Because somebody need to be standing in here. Somebody need to be here preaching the Word of God. Well, why would you do that? Because God told us to go preach. I'm just following what he told me to do. I do it because he told me to do it. Amen. You don't do it just because you feel good. A lot of times I don't feel good. You always feel good? Hey, you know what? Become Monday morning. It comes time to go to work. You might have the sniffles. Might be running a fever or whatever. But 9 times out of 10 you'll get up and you'll go to work. Why? Because they're paying me a salary. And I have to work to pay my bills. Hey, you know what? One of these days you're going to be gone, that job's going to be gone. One of these days we're going to be in heaven standing before the Lord. What is he going to say about it? What is he going to say about it? Hey, we ought to think about these things. I've had people come, and not too long ago, had people come to the church. They came to church and visited the church. And the very ones that invited them to come to church wasn't even there. And that's the first thing they asked me, well, where's so-and-so at? I said, well, they're just not here today. They didn't come back. Why? Because these people invited them, and then they didn't even show up for church. And the very time you don't show up, and that's when you're the people that you invite, that's when they're going to show up. Amen. Oh, preacher, don't be so mean. I'm not being mean. I'm trying to help. I'm not trying to be mean. When I'm preaching to you, and I'm looking, sticking my finger out there at every one of you, I got 3 more coming back at me. You better keep your nose clean. Yeah. Let me go on. Let's see. God expects his people to be faithful. Faithful to church, faithful to prayer. Faithful to giving. When I was a deacon in the church before God called me to preach, there was a family coming to the church, and Me and this other deacon, the pastor, come up and said, I want you to go visit these people. Okay, so we went one night, and we went to visit those people. And the other deacon, he told me, and he's also a treasurer in the church, and he told me, this woman said, she draws leaves and cuts them out and writes love on them and puts them in the offering. I said, what? Now, you're kidding me. He said, no, I'm not kidding. He said, she draws leaves. I don't know what that's all about, but she draws leaves. And on each leaf, she writes the word love and puts it in the envelope and puts it in the offering. I said, well, what in the world? I said, I never heard of such a thing. But anyway, we went and visited this family, you know, and so while we were sitting there, she brought it up. He didn't say anything about it, and I didn't say anything about it, but she brought it up. She said, well, you're probably wondering about my offering. She said, but I want you to know, I love our church, and she said, I'm fully behind our church. I agree with everything in our church, and I just want you to know that I'm poor and I don't have much money. And she said, but I've got a television evangelist, and said, I send my tithe to that television evangelist. And she says, and I've got this radio pastor, and said, and I send him money. And I said, and you go to our church and you put in leaves with love on it? She said, they need my money. I said, and our church don't? I said, you're supposed to put your tithe in the church where you go. I said, how do you think we play for the light bill and make the payments and this and that and the other, and buy the curriculum and do all these things? I could not believe. But she said, my television evangelist and my radio pastor. I said, well, I thought to myself, I didn't say this to her, but I said to the other deacon, I said, well, when she needs, she gets in the hospital or gets sick or have family members sick and all, I wonder if she's going to call her television pastor and her radio pastor and have them to come and pray for her sick ones or you know, when she has a death in the family. I wonder if she's going to call on them and see if they come or not. Amen. Yeah, you know, some people have got some crazy ideas. But they're not rational. But God wants us to be faithful in these things. He tells us to be faithful. And I close with this. He says, God expects his people to be soul winners. And I close right there. God expects us to be soul winners. Tell other people about Jesus. That's what it's all about. Some people say, well, I just don't know how to witness to anybody. Do you know how you got saved? That's all you got to do. Tell somebody else how you got saved. That's what I've been doing for 50 years. I've been telling people how God saved me. And then I've got the Romans road mapped out in my Bible. And I could just turn right there and lead them right down the Romans road and show them. A lot of times I don't even go by the Romans road anymore. I just go over to John chapter 3 and use that. Or I go to some other scriptures and I use that. Or I go to Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 and use that. And other scriptures in the Bible, you know. There's many different places in the Bible how to show somebody how to get saved. But I know how to tell somebody how I got saved. And that's what God wants you to do, is tell other people how you got saved. Because people need to get saved. They're lost and undone without God. And they need Jesus. People need Jesus. Let's stand, please. Brother Jerry, would you come? Pianist, organist, would you come?